Welcome back, Petersburg parishioners. I'm Julia Monin, pastoral associate here at the Region, and this is Listening In, the podcast that we do once a month where I sit down with a parishioner or perhaps a priest or a pastor and just allow you to listen in on a conversation that I'm having with them. Today, I have with me Father Pat. I'm sure you are familiar with Father Pat, and I have been wanting Father Pat to sit down with me for a podcast, well, since I started telling him I wanted to do a podcast. So months now, right, Father?
A number of months, yes. And I always came up with somebody else that could do it instead of me.
Yes, you sure did. And he was really good at that. I kept telling him, yes, I will ask so-and-so, but I'm going to keep asking you till you say yes.
You did. True to your word. So, this is my first podcast, too, ever.
Wow, awesome. Wow, what an honor. I'm excited.
So I got a haircut, but then I forgot about your podcast.
Well, I think you look nice. Oh, so I'm excited to have Father with us. I've been working here at the parishes now for a year. It's been a year since I've been hired in. And one of the greatest gifts that have come with this role is getting to work so closely with the pastors, because I've been able to see you guys, see a side of you that I think the average lay parishioner doesn't get to see on a Sunday as they are just seeing you at Mass. So that's been a gift to me. So I feel like I've got to see a side of a deep introspective side of you that I've just really enjoyed getting to know. So I'm hoping that kind of comes out here in this podcast, and that perhaps maybe we can share that with some of the listeners.
That'd be great.
So anyway, just a reminder, we haven't prepped anything, so I'm just going to let the Spirit guide us here. But there was something that I have been stirring with for a while. A couple months ago, you and I had an impromptu meeting about something unrelated to what I'm going to bring up here. But you had said in that meeting, we were talking about just spiritual growth, and you had mentioned there was a part on your journey where you had been reading somebody. You never told me who it was, or you were reading something or some certain series of books or some certain author, perhaps, that was really inspiring or enlightening to you, that was a real comfort to you at that time of your journey. Do you remember that conversation?
I don't remember it directly, although once you say that, I would probably mention Thomas Green.
Okay.
I think that's who it was. At least the author that I read consistently over the course of time. It was actually during the time between college seminary and major seminary, the 4 years when I taught school.
Mm-hmm.
Was a time when I had a spiritual director still, but I wasn't in formation like at the seminary. And I wanted to take my spiritual growth very seriously still. I wasn't sure about what I was going to do in the future, whether I was going to be a priest or be married. I was teaching at the time. I was actually involved in a number of other things in parish life and at a nearby church that were very interesting and a lot of fun. But every night I would read a little bit from one of the books of Thomas Green.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Jesuit.
Okay.
And a number of his books are in the Adoration Chapel at IC Church.
Okay. I've seen those in there, okay, but I've not actually read any of his. So what was it about those that really were helpful to you?
They appealed to me because there was just some basic common sense spiritual wisdom that I found in all of them. He has a number of books, and they're about prayer and about growing in our prayer lives. The key to that, though, was it wasn't one book that just really knocked my socks off mm-hmm. at one time or one thing that I read, but it was the persistent reading a little bit every night before I retired, before I went to bed, and that growth over time was, it was awesome. I really appreciate it, and I still appreciate his books and recommend them to people at times, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what you said there is just key, because I think it's easy to get discouraged on our paths of spiritual growth. Well, any growth for that matter, whether we set out to perhaps lose weight or we set out to spend more time with quality time with our families or whatever good intention we have mm-hmm. of doing something, it's easy to get discouraged because we try it really and then all of a sudden it gets hard and you have to just keep being persistent. You use that word persistent.
Yes. And of course, just what's the word I'm looking for here? Just the busyness of life, and the evil one will want us to just kind of tire out on something like that.
Absolutely.
And just, usually it happens in a very unceremonious way. We just you know, we miss it one day, and then we maybe we miss it a couple days later. We don't do it, you know, we don't do our practice or whatever good, whatever virtue we're striving for or whatever we're trying to correct in our lives. And then just by, what's the word, just by forgetfulness or laziness, mm-hmm. it ends up becoming a non-value. Right. Stop doing it.
Right. So I know in my own journey, when I first felt like I needed to start, because there was a time in my life, and it's hard for me to imagine this now, because I pray all the time now, but there was certainly a time in my life where I didn't pray at all. I mean, where I was going to Mass, and I guess I was trying to do the right things, but I really wasn't trying to do the right things. I was telling myself I was.
You weren't trying to do the wrong things, probably. Well, maybe. You're smiling.
Yeah, I'm smiling because I don't know.
I doubt you were trying to do the wrong things.
But anyway, when you finally have that moment that something's got to change, and I knew that it needed to start with prayer. And so I had this determination of I'm going to start praying every day. And it's really hard to get in that habit of, and like you said, it happens really simply where something came up today and I couldn't do it today. And then all of a sudden today turns into tomorrow and tomorrow turns into the next day. And also in prayer and spiritual growth, especially, we don't always see immediate fruits.
Correct.
And so that can be discouraging too, because we think we're doing something wrong.
Or that it's not working or not doing any good. And then we get discouraged and, it's really over the long haul that we've got to pray and grow in the prayer life.
Definitely. Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's a good reminder to all of us. I think no matter whatever stage you're at on your journey, you learn that I have to be persistent. I have to be persistent. I have to be persistent. So.
And the Lord tells us that too, you know, in the scriptures for sure. Ask and seek and knock. And that's right. Several passages in the Gospels where prayer. And we see that from his life too. The example of his persistent prayer happens kind of off the radar in the Gospels, mm-hmm. but we hear of it that it's usually later at night or early in the morning when he has time, mm-hmm. you know, to do that, when he makes that special time. And that made an impression on his apostles.
Right.
So much so that they asked him about that.
Right.
When he finished praying one day.
So that's interesting that you bring that part of Jesus's life up, because there was one time I was posed the question, if you could be with Jesus at any point during his life, what time of that life when would you be with him? And so that's something to take to prayer, something to contemplate. What part of his journey would you be with him? And as the group was kind of sharing answers, of course, some people wanted to be with him during his passion, during his crucifixion. Some wanted to be with him during his resurrection. Some wanted to be with him at the Last Supper, or just when he was out teaching and healing. And I thought about it. And finally, I came to the conclusion, I would just want to be with him in those times of deep moments of prayer with his father. And I wouldn't say a word. I would just want to be a fly on the wall, sitting there and watching the relationship that he would have with his father. And that to me was just where the Spirit took me.
And that's very profound. That's something many wouldn't have thought of.
Yeah. Well, perhaps not many, but let's. What's curious about this is that Tony, my husband, said the same thing. So we did not feed off of each other, uh-huh. but we came up with that. Isn't that funny how that was a strange, or that perhaps not strange, but, you know, two become one, I guess. So.
Well, your prayer lives must be pretty awesome then, or pretty...
Well, they are what they are, but we're always learning and growing. That's the big thing I think with us. We're open to it. We're just open mm-hmm. to where the Lord... And that's the biggest thing, is we're open to where he's guiding us. We're open to what he's wanting to do. But Tony and I spend our mornings, we get up in the morning, we have a little breakfast, and we sit in our living room, and we just both spend quiet time with the Lord, and that's how we do start our day. So I guess, in a sense, yeah, that's
something. Keep each other accountable that way, too. That's
oh, man, amen. Yes, we do, very much so. So what about you? Posing that question back to you. Did anything immediately come to mind, that a moment in Christ's life where you would want to be present with him?
I would probably have to think about that a bit more. Nothing came to mind immediately. I like your answer about prayer. It might also be, in terms of being a pastor, it might also be a time to wonder about Jesus when he was experiencing anguish related to decisions, or when he was maybe experiencing opposition. yeah. from the evil one or from other people, the Pharisees especially opposed him often. That is a dimension to what happens for a pastor or a priest or any of us. We experience opposition, and how he handled that would be telling, would be instructional, you know, a benefit to see how he pushed through that, pushed around that, and continued to persevere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, certainly, yeah.
Trying to think of a specific example of that in the scriptures where Jesus was bumping up against a lot of troubles or opposition, and nothing, you know, he journeyed up into Samaria, mm-hmm. you know, a number of times, and, you know, of course, they didn't even want him to come into town into some of those places, but he doesn't seem, he continued to proclaim the good news there, and eventually they welcomed him, not every place, but most every place he went. But yeah,
certainly there's a dimension with your vocation where that would be something that only a pastor, only someone in your position would actually understand the burden, I guess, of that, of being that in that position.
And there's a dimension of it that goes along with church law, of course, that is especially challenging, and wanting to be welcoming and generous and allowing anybody to obtain what they want, for example, to be a godparent,
sure.
but also knowing that the church has some basic regulations about things, and those aren't always, it's not always easy to both minister to the person where they are and know that the church's minimum requirements are kind of obvious too, so.
Yeah, it's challenging. Well, but something sure I'm certain every mom and dad could relate to too.
Well, heck
because
yeah.
as a parent, you want to give everything to your kids. You want to spoil your kids rotten, right? You want to just keep giving and giving and giving, and yet there's sometimes where you just have to tell your kid no, and you have to mean it. You have to mean your no's, and you have to stand your ground,
yeah.
and you have to, because as a parent, you know ultimately that it could lead to danger, or it could lead to something bad, perhaps bad habits in the future. So you want what's ultimately best for your child.
And we encounter lots of no's in life. I mean, in our jobs, in our in other places, we understand the regulations or commandments or basic laws, and you know that's part of it. Sometimes we get a no answer.
Absolutely.
We can't do everything we want to do or what we'd like to do.
Right.
Sure. It's a matter of trying to then allow our will to be transformed so that we, from that no, we find a yes in Christ. You know, there's a yes somewhere, whether it be growing in some virtue like patience or finding something that we didn't imagine behind a burden like a commandment or a discipline.
I think that's been the biggest eye-opening thing to me on my journey is what you just said. We find something behind the no. And what I have found behind those no's is freedom, which seems paradoxical. It doesn't seem like that's what you, because freedom is just, I want what I want and I can get it, right? But really what Christ's law is telling me no, and actually starting, what I have found from that is freedom, is, oh my gosh, I don't have to have that. And I can still be more than happy. In fact, I can actually be joyful and I can actually feel this freedom of, I don't have this attachment to these things that I, you know, that we easily become attached to.
Well, whether they're things or what we think that we got to have or need. That reminds, it comes to mind Augustine's statement about love and do what you will, which is a very profound, and I don't claim to understand it completely, but he's got a quote that says that, the love and do what you will. And the gist of that is not complete. It's that notion of freedom you're
mm-hmm.
talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The freedom doesn't mean I get to do whatever I want or whatever comes to me as something that seems desirable, but rather true freedom is comes from love and doing God's will. And so if I'm on the track, the right track as far as loving, which means I might have to receive a no well, then I will be able to, in essence, continue to love and still do God's will and do what I want to do because I ultimately want to love. But it's hard for us to understand that a no is a way to love.
Yeah.
You know? To be respectful of my parents. I always ask at baptisms.
Mm-hmm.
Most times I talk to the little ones a brother or sister about the commandments around the house. And I asked them, you know, what's a commandment around the house from mom and dad that you have to abide by? And eventually you'll get them to talk about whether their room's clean, you know, and if their room isn't clean, or, you know, that's one of the best ways they can show love for their parents, to be obedient to commandments, to be obedient to the laws of the house. It's a great way to give mom and dad a big hug and a kiss in a symbolic way, to be obedient. We know that.
Yeah, but that doesn't make it easy.
No, not in today's world where you know, you command somebody to do something and it's automatic. They're going to buck you right back. Yeah.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, no, obedience is not easy. That was along my journey, and, you know, you pray with the saints and you pray about obedience, and there was a time where I was just confused what the Lord was asking me to do. And so I was in prayer with him, going back and forth, dialoguing with Christ. And I just said, if I was just a nun, and then I would just have a vow of obedience, and obedience would be so easy. You just do what your superior tells you. And how hard is that? You just do it. It doesn't matter if you agree with it or not. You just do it. So that's me in my head just telling Christ, obedience would be so easy. And then my husband enters the room, right, and asks me for like a glass of water or something super simple. And I thought, no, get your own water. And that was Christ kind of, that was funny. I laughed then at that, because that was him proving to me that obedience is not easy. And even in my vocation, yes, as a wife, yes, and as a husband too, but certainly we need to be obedient to one another, and that's challenging.
Anyway. That's a great virtue, obedience, yeah.
Yeah. So, last thought before we wrap things up. Are there any particular, I mean, we've already talked about Jesus in the scripture and how you're drawn to the times where perhaps he was opposed and times that he had to stand up for truth and righteousness, even in the face of hate and opposition. But are there any like go-to scripture passages for you? So passages or just little words from scripture that really always speak to your heart?
Goodness, Julia, I really don't say, I wouldn't say that there is, that I would return to. I mean, I strive to pray the hours with great devotion, and so there is an automatic cycle of readings and scriptures that come to mind. The one might be interesting, not so much from the gospel, but from St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is where Paul is striving to do God's will, striving to do what the Lord, he knows the Lord wants him to do, but he ends up doing otherwise, you know, and so that's that notion, as we spoke of perseverance and pushing through and trusting in Jesus' mercy, ultimately, that it'll be okay, you know, that the goodness and the holiness that we long for, as long as we persist with Jesus' grace, it'll be accomplished, even though it doesn't seem like it now, even though it seems like we do what we don't want to do. So that's one. The other one, of course, in the hours, Liturgy of the Hours, is Psalm 51, which is attributed to David after his big sin. And so that's prayed every Friday morning in the Liturgy of the Hours. It's not just on the one of the 4-week cycles, but it's every Friday morning in the church prays that psalm about, you know, create a clean heart in me and purify me and help me to...
A steadfast spirit, right? Mm-hmm. And that goes back to what we were saying, that steadfastness, that we persevere, persist, that we, even when we come face to face with our sins, like David, even when they're big sins, like David's, that we have that steadfast spirit to trust in the mercy of God and to continue our walks with him. And that's especially hard when we realize how human we are and how flawed we are.
We fall short, that's one of the other things that mercy and forgiveness is a wonderful thing that I've experienced in parish life too, even as much or even more than the challenging times of calling people to obedience, is the mercy that other people have shown me in ministry, truly. Mm-hmm. And For times when I maybe didn't decide the right thing, or when I wasn't able to respond with the compassion of the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. So that's been a great blessing.
Mm-hmm. And we all need that, yes. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we just assume as lay people that once you're ordained a priest, then you're just already Christ-like, right? You're like, and we expect our husbands to fail us from time to time. Perhaps we expect our children to mess up. But we don't give that same leeway to priests often. We have the bar really high, and perhaps we should, because
the shepherd is even more accountable, for sure. And so that's part of it. And so pray for priests, and pray for leaders in the church, not just priests, because all staff members bear a burden of that leadership that is imperfection and striving for perfection. Yeah.
Amen. Well, I think that we'll end on that. I love that. Just pray for priests, pray for the leaders in the church. And I especially say that after now experiencing this and having an inside look into pastoral life, a look that I did not have a year ago. And yes, I was praying for my parishes, and yes, I was praying for my priests. But once you step in, you realize how much that prayer is needed, and how much the people, the leaders of the parish, are dependent on the prayers of the faithful.
The people of God.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So we'll end on that note of just a reminder to all of us to pray.
And also, you had mentioned, you started off the interview by talking about a time in your life when you were praying about discerning what to do, where to go. I hope that was the part of that decision might have been, you know, becoming a pastoral associate in our parishes, because that's been an awesome blessing to us, certainly to me. And I think people are seeing more and more how much of a blessing it is to the entire body of Christ.
So, see, that's why I brought him on, because I knew he'd talk me up. So, see, thank you, Father. No, certainly, yeah, that was a big discernment for me. And I was confused about that for a long time, about having it made it real. It made my ministry to the Lord very real, that now I'm actually in a position and I can't just do it on the side anymore. So it was heavy discernment for me, but I certainly, certainly, certainly have felt the Lord present. So.
Amen.
Okay, well, thank you guys for joining us. This is the December podcast, and so by the end of the month, we'll have gone through Advent and Christmas, and so we wish you the very best as we journey through these seasons with the Lord. And I'm going to ask Father to close us in prayer. Go ahead, Father.
Lord Jesus, we await your coming all the more into our lives, for that arrival of your grace and your presence to greater degree is our ultimate hope. It's our joy here on earth, our ultimate hope for eternal life, being one with you in eternal glory. Continue to bless us during this season of Advent, and as we welcome your coming at Christmas with increased hope and joy. For you are Lord forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.